Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Well, as 2019 comes to a close today, LeBron James was named the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Decade. LeBron's three championships have all come in the past 10 years, and no other NBA player has won as many games as the King in that stretch. LeBron was a, quote, runaway winner, distancing himself runner-up Tom Brady for the award. Shannon, I must start with you here. Did they get it right?
They got it absolutely right. I don't even know who else was running. I mean, everybody else should have just said, take me out of the running, because you know you had no chance. It's like Usain Bolt, Skip with him in Beijing. You had no chance of winning. Him in Rio, you had no chance of winning. London, no chance. You had no chance. Skip, hold on, what? I mean, the 2010 decade, nine straight first team All-NBAs. Eight straight finals appearances, something that hadn't been done since the old 50s, 60s Celtics. And he did it with two different teams. Three finals MVPs, three regular season MVPs. I mean, what's the discussion? What are we discussing? I just want to know.
Look, are you done?
That was it.
Look, I understand, Jenny, because, you know, you have first place votes, second place votes. That's why you get, you know, second place. Because really, if you just said, okay, you can just get to cast first place votes, we already know who it would have been. They said it was runaway. They said landslide. Say it wasn't even close. Say it was a bigger victory than when Reagan beat Mondale. Skip, did you know that?
Did they say that?
Yeah, I don't think they said that.
I don't think anybody even knew that.
When he beat Mondale in 84.
I don't think that's it.
I don't even think he won his home state of Minnesota. Skip, that's a shame.
Sad.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Skip, that you would even broach the subject. And if you,
I haven't spoken.
Yeah, because I know what you still upset that Jason Garrett is.
That's true. I'll give you that.
First of all, Skip, he's under contract till January 14th. So let Jerry get the last little bit, the last 13 days out of him before he probably ceremonially give him the boot. But Skip, I don't really know whom else could have even been in the discussion after what we just witnessed. Nine. He went to every final except one. He was first team All NBA every except one. Hitting them three finals MVP, three regular season MVPs. No further questions, y'all.
Thank you. My turn. Tom Brady clearly deserved to be AP Male Athlete of the Decade because he had so much extraordinary success at the highest levels of his sport.
More LeBron?
While LeBron James suffered so many epic failures through this decade. And I'm going to start with those because the blind witnesses, led by LaShannon Sharp, tend to sanitize these from the record, just sweep them under that little rug you keep over there for LeBron's sake. And let's start with 2010. That counts.
Yeah, it counts.
2010 playoffs when LeBron and company were up 2-1 on the Boston Celtics. Remember this?
Yeah.
And LeBron shrank in games 4, 5, and 6. And Dan Gilbert, his owner, accused him of quitting on the Cleveland Cavaliers in that series. And Kevin Garnett, now the star of Uncut Gems, recently said just a couple of weeks ago, we broke LeBron in that series. Does that count in the decade?
Yeah, I don't know. Sure does.
That's an epic fail to me, which led to the decision, which led to LeBron and Dwayne sitting up on the stage and LeBron saying, not 5, not 6, not 7. Remember that? Which led to 2011 first go-around with the Heat versus the Dallas Mavericks. Epic meltdown in the NBA Finals versus the Dallas Mavericks. The chosen one turned into the frozen one right on schedule in games 4, 5, and 6.
Being up two games to one, just like against the Boston Celtics.
How can you wipe that from, how can you expunge that from his record that happened in this decade? Then let's go to 20. He did break through against the 2012 against the Baby Thunder.
Baby Thunder.
2013. Without the clutchest shot ever hit by Ray Allen, LeBron James is now 2-7 in finals because this simply, there it is. I hate to see it again. Chris Bosh out to Ray
Allen. Green, bang!
Nothing but net.
Back it up.
But net. And that saved LeBron, who had just LeBricked a three-point shot that could have tied it and sent it to overtime. That saved LeBron from going 2-7 in finals. Now we go to 2014. The next year, my Spurs blew out LeBron's Miami Heat by a record finals margin in 5 games. And I dare anybody to go look at the tape when it's 1-1 going back to Miami, games 3 and 4. Help me out. What did LeBron do in those two games? Not much. He shrank. He disappeared in those two games, and all of a sudden they get blown off the floor by a record finals margin, which brings me to 2015. LeBron had Golden State down 2-1, and I said, this is going to be his shining moment. This is going to be his breakthrough MJ moment when he can actually join the all-time conversation of who's the greatest between Jordan and LeBron. He's up 2-1 with game four in his house, and what did he do in that game? 7-22, 1-4 from three, 5-10 from the free throw line, and they got blown out by 21 points in what's now the Iguodala game, in which Steve Kerr inserted Iguodala.
Okay, yep.
Remember that?
Good point. I mean, compelling point, Skip.
Then they lose the next game by 13 and the last game by 8, and boom, 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 he's out again. These are epic failures, 2017. Remember, KD in LeBron's house just rose above him in game. This is game three in LeBron's house, and shot it right in his face to take over basketball and become the MVP of the finals and the best player on the planet. Yeah. Remember that? I guess most people are forgotten which led to 2018, game one, that debacle at Oracle in the finals. Remember what happened? LeBron gets the switch onto little tiny Steph Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
And LeBron's out of his mind. At that point, he'd scored 49 points and had the hottest hand from distance I've ever seen him have in any playoff game. And he opts not to shoot the do or die shot because they're down one, and instead kicks it to George Hill, who, of course, misses the second free throw, which leads to the J.R. Smith blunder, which leads to LeBron quitting on his team, sitting aside from his team down the row, pouting, and wouldn't shoot for the first 2.5 minutes of overtime, and managed to go 0-4 the rest of the way in overtime, and they lost the overtime 17-7 and got swept in a series. Okay. I thought they could have won if they had won game one.
Skip, you know good where they won.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, these are epic meltdowns, which led to last year. He comes to L.A. and he's chasing Michael B. Jordan, I believe, and he goes 28-27 in the games he played for the fairly young Lakers, but I thought at least he could get them in the playoffs.
Right.
And instead,
how do the young Lakers doing in Pelican?
They're hurt right now.
Oh, they're
hurt. The point is that we were left with a blooper reel of LeBron James last year. Could we just see it real quickly to remind everybody of what happened last year?
Do that.
He throws it off the backboard, inbounds off the backboard. Wait a second. Kuzma has to shove him out to play three-point defense because he was playing no defense last year. Rolling the ball up the floor and then kicking the ball out of bounds. LeBron, what are you doing? And then Mario Hezonja in the garden. Ugh. Makes him eat it. What are you doing, LeBron? This is the athlete of the decade.
Yes. Skip Bayless. In 2010, in the divisional round of the playoffs, Your guy, Tom Brady, lost to Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he did.
Joe Flacco. Hold on.
Lost to Ray Lewis.
No. That's not the Joe Flacco that you call Joe Fluco.
Okay.
Okay, then he followed up next year.
Well, what did Flacco do in the playoffs to everybody?
Skip.
He put up some of the all-time greatest stats.
I'm just going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Now, once I'm done, I'm going to turn the floor back over to you.
Okay.
And then the following year, if you type in butt fumble, this guy pitcher comes up. Did butt fumble beat Tom Brady? Now, I just want to know, of Joe Flacco and Mark Sanchez, which of them going to the Hall of Fame? Don't answer that because it's not your turn just yet.
Joe Flacco's going to the postseason Hall of Fame.
There's no such award. Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Nick Foles got beat out by Gardner Minshew. Gardamania. That guy took down Tom Brady. I know you're not going to say, whoa, that's your turn just yet.
Whoa,
Skip, stop now. And the guy that you said led the league in interceptions three times, lost his job to a rookie this year. Eli Manning took that guy down twice. Now,
that didn't count in the decade. Only one counted.
No.
We're doing. We're just doing this past decade.
Oh, yeah, Skip.
Okay.
He took him down.
Once.
In 2010.
Okay.
Okay, Nick Foles took him.
No, 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Took him down.
Okay. Yeah.
Who took him down?
Eli the second time. That was later.
Happened.
Okay.
So, hold on.
Tell me when it's my turn.
Not your turn just yet. Mm-hmm. Now, he keeps talking about how the Mavericks beat LeBron James Heat. He didn't mention that same Mavericks team swept the two-time defending champ Lakers in four games.
What excuse is that?
Whoa.
The best player on the planet.
Whoa, Skip. They swept the two-time defending champ two-time Finals MVP and beat the brakes off of the Thunder.
Not five, not six, not seven.
Whoa. I'm just saying. So when you add up the totality, one guy got three regular season MVPs. One guy got three. Skip, he might have had another compelling case had he not played like stir fry in the last Super Bowl and Julian Edelman win the Super Bowl MVP. Great, but he played like stir fry.
Thank you. My turn now.
Yes, he is.
Tom Brady in this decade that is ending tonight, 8 straight AFC championship games. That's way better than going to 8 straight finals through the Eastern Conference.
How dare you go do that? Hold on.
8 straight AFC championship games. It's my turn now.
Okay.
Including the one in the fourth quarter in which they trailed Jacksonville 20-10. That's when they were Saxonville, the best defense in pro football. And what did Tom do in the fourth quarter with 12 stitches in his throwing hand from a cut that week? He goes 138 yards passing for 2 touchdowns, and they roar back to win 24-20. It was extraordinary. What did he do last year at Kansas City in overtime against Patrick Mahomes and company? Not against Patrick Mahomes on defense, obviously. Mm-hmm. He completed, Tom Brady, 3 straight 3rd-and-10s. It's virtually impossible to do that, to lead them down for the touchdown that won the game on the road against the MVP's team. Now let's go back to the Super Bowls, the one you talk about, 2011.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is up on Eli 17-15 with 4 minutes left in the game, and he throws a ball up the seam to Wes Welker.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the most on-target pass that Tom has ever thrown in his life, but even Shannon Sharpe said, you know what? You got to catch that. You got both hands on it. Shannon Sharpe puts that in his, not back pocket, in his front pocket, because that's a catchable pass. And if he catches that pass, we're having a different conversation about the second Eli Super Bowl.
Hold on. Go ahead. Your turn.
2014. What happened against the Legion of Boom in the fourth quarter? Tom Brady is down 24-14, and he throws for 124 and 2 touchdowns against the Legion of Boom. And they come from 24-14 down to win the football game. That's extraordinary to me. Atlanta obviously happened next in 2016. They're down 28-3.
What happened in 2015?
In the fourth quarter and overtime, I'm just going to the ones that they won or he played great in, but there are a whole bunch of those. What happened? He goes 21 of 27 in the fourth quarter and overtime for 246 yards. Mm-hmm. Just in those two segments, fourth quarter and overtime, 246. And they come from 28-3 down to win another Super Bowl. Then the Super Bowl in question that you talk about, Bill Belichick's defense allows 41 points to the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. 41 points. Wait a second. Tom Brady throws for an all-time playoff record 505. Not just a Super Bowl. I'm talking about an all-time playoff record 505 and puts up 33, the most ever scored by a Super Bowl loser, because Belichick's defense gave up 41.
But I didn't see you clapping about LeBron scoring 51 points in the finals game, the most points by a loser.
Way to go.
But here's the
thing. I'm not quite finished. It's still my turn.
Okay.
Last year, you say, he played like dog, you know what, last year. Wait a second. He's going up against the best defense in the NFL at that point. Wade Phillips had been his nemesis, has been his whole career. And yet, what did Tom finally do mid-fourth quarter? He said, I am going to crack the code. He goes 4 for 4 for 67 yards on the drive that wins the football game. Game-winning drive. That puts them up 10-3, and it's game over.
They only had one drive.
Thank you.
That was the only drive of the game?
Does the fourth quarter matter in a 10-3 game? Yes.
Whoa.
He did it again.
Hold on. I just want to make sure.
This is extraordinary. So when I compare resumes, how could you not give Tom Brady athlete of the decade?
Easy. It's not even close.
Not even close. The other way, it's not even close.
Can I ask you a question? You say the Legion of Boom. You said he was down 24-14, and he ended up winning the game. Did the Legion of Boom, did the Seahawks score any more points? Does Tom Brady play defense? So I just want to know one thing before we, and I know Jenny is itching to change this up. Mm. So
she's itching because she knows you're in trouble.
I just asked you a simple question. Who had a better defense, the 2014 Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks or last year's L.A. Rams?
Better defense?
Yes.
Well, that's a close call.
It ain't close.
Well, you tell me Aaron Donald's the best player in all of football, I don't know.
You had Richard Sherman that was all pro. Cam Chancellor was all pro. Bobby Wagner was all pro. You had that fearsome front four. Earl Thomas also went to the Pro Bowl that year. Mm-hmm. So you had like six guys on the defensive side of football.
Okay, I'll go with that. Thank you.
And Tom Brady. But last year, for some reason, he can only get to, 10 points, 13 points?
Well, I mean, did that win the game? Is that enough to win the game? Yeah.
I'm not,
four
I'm,
for four?
And
did he not throw the pass of the game? What would you say was the pass of the Super Bowl?
Hold on. So
what was it? 31 yards to Gronkowski?
Whoa. Yeah. Hold on. 8 straight AFC title games, mm-hmm. 8 straight NBA finals.
Mm.
You know,
Eastern Conference, yeah,
no,
AFC.
No, oh.
I think I'll.
Hey, I want you to have
degree
that.
Degree of difficulty
hey,
is AFC.
Hey, y'all hear that? Because I know Giannis is in the Eastern Conference. Mm. I know Joel Embiid. So when it comes down for MVP, I don't want to hear anything about Giannis winning it. Mm. That's the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
I don't want to hear about Joel Embiid. That's the Eastern Conference.
Okay, but they weren't there through the decade.
Yeah, they
didn't
were.
Matter.
Yeah. Hold on.
They weren't there.
Giannis is a rookie.
Back in 2004 and 5 and 6.
No, that ain't no. We ain't talking about that. We talking about 2010. 2010.
Okay.
We reign supreme.
Yep.
Yeah, he's notorious, scorching like a jelly bean. I'm bad at the LL on.
I have a request. Maybe we don't show the LeBron blooper reel anymore in 2020. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Yeah.
But see,
I didn't want to bring up Joe Flacco beating me. I didn't want to bring up that. I didn't want to bring up. You think I want to bring up Butt Fumble beating Tom Brady?
That
should be on his resume.
What were Joe Flacco's numbers in the postseason? What were they?
Skip. As a matter of
all
fact,
time. Skip, mm. All time.
If you go look, at that game, Joe Flacco had like a 20 QBR.
Mm.
He threw a pick and had 91 yards. Mm.
Did he win a Super Bowl?
Whoa. Hold on. Did Dirk Nowitzki win a Super Bowl?
Mm.
Did the Golden State Warriors win championships?
Mm.
I mean, so you just have Kevin Durant, who's an MVP, who's the most unique offensive player that we've ever seen. And you pair him with a 2-time unanimous MVP, a guy that can catch and shoot like nobody else, Klay Thompson, and the utility sports knife in Draymond, and you say, LeBron, you got to beat that. Mm.
Is he better than Jordan or not? Because you tell me he's better than Jordan.
Name the team that Jordan beat that was comparable to the Warriors.
If you put Jordan on the Cavaliers against that Warriors team, he would have beaten them.
You did. Mm. And he couldn't get out the East.
All right,
Jenny, you remember when he played in the Bad Boy Celtics?
Yeah. Mm.
And the Big Three Celtics and the Bad Boy Pistons?
Mm.
You remember that, Skip? When it was just Jordan by himself, when he was on the Cavaliers, basically by himself,
I thought
he got trapped.
About LeBron being
you
the
You brought it up.
We could take this one
is.
All day. We really could. There are so
Stop
many
Stop hating,
angles.
Skip.
So many angles. No mercy. Well, the first coaching vacancy of the offseason has been filled as the Redskins officially announced Ron Rivera as their new head coach yesterday. However, Mike Freeman pointed out on Bleacher Report that Rivera is one of only 4 minority head coaches in the NFL, along with Brian Flores, Mike Tomlin, and Anthony Lynn. While there were a record 8 minority head coaches as recently as 2018, Freeman also points out that coaches of color are now even turning down interviews for jobs because they believe these interviews are, quote, shams. So, Shannon, your reaction to this?
I believe there's some merit to it, Skip. I think the spirit of the Rooney Rule is in the right place, Skip. At least give them minorities, black, people of color, Hispanic, mm-hmm. Ron Rivera is of Hispanic descent, mm-hmm. Give them an opportunity to get their foot in the door because before they were not even getting their foot in the door. And if I'm not mistaken, Skip, I think the Rooney Rule was implemented 02, 03, something of that mm-hmm. nature. For right now, there's 32 NFL head coaches, just 4 are minorities. That's the fewest in the last 16 mm-hmm. years. The thing that's going to have to change, Skip, the people that do the hiring.
Yep.
There's one of the 32 general managers, there's one of color. That's Chris Greer in Miami. The 32 owners, there's none of color. So until you get someone, because it's going to be familiarity, Skip. It's going to be somebody that I'm familiar with. I know, and I know it sounds, you know, cliche as a shame. And I agree with Mike Freeman said that somebody got, because sometimes I believe it's just, okay, let me just check the box to say I did have one in here, having no intentions of hiring him.
Mm-hmm.
But until you get more African-American or minorities of color in the general manager position, and until we can get Robert Smith and Oprah and Jay-Z to buy a club, Skip, I don't, Skip, is, Skip, how do you tell a man that's worth $10 billion who the hell to hire?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it, but Jerry Jones is going to hire who he's comfortable with. Shad Khan and all these owners, they're going to hire who they're comfortable with. Skip, I'm sorry. I wish I can give you a better explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to that's what it is. They're going to hire somebody that they're comfortable with. And guys are not getting in the position that they can have influence. They're one general manager?
Mm. So, quick question.
Yes.
Why do so many white NBA owners hire men of color to coach their basketball teams, which they might or might not be socially comfortable
Skip,
with.
I have no idea. But if you look at it, Skip,
yep.
you look at how many the NBA is like predominantly African-Americans,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot of black coaches. But if you look at the entertainment, you look at the entertainment at the All-Star game for NBA, and look at the entertainment for the Super Bowl.
I know.
It's totally different.
You got me.
And the thing is, Skip, and I'm like, hold on. How you gonna have 70% African Americans play the game, but what, 10%, 5% coaching?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that picture, Skip? Mm-hmm. It's just that maybe the NBA owners are more forward-thinking. Maybe the players have more power. I don't know what it is, Skip, but there's something. I mean, 4 of 32. What, that's 8%? I think my math correct.
12%.
Mm-hmm. But, Skip, until that changes, mm-hmm. because I just don't know how you tell a billionaire who he should and shouldn't.
You are correct. So, I got two strong points I would like to make.
Okay.
First of all, I texted with my friend John Wooten, who I've known forever, covered him forever when he was the GM of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And he is now the retired head of the Fritz Pollard Alliance. And I believe that John Wooten was most responsible for pushing through this Rooney Rule
yes.
that at least requires NFL owners to interview candidates of color.
Mm-hmm.
And John's response to me about 4 out of 32 this morning, it is hurtful. The owners must commit that they are going to be open to giving opportunity to men of color as the face of their franchise.
Right.
We have guys ready to go. These are African-American candidates for head coaches. Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City, the mm-hmm. coordinator. Chris Richard, the defensive coordinator in Dallas. Robert Saleh, obviously the mm-hmm. coordinator in San Francisco. Jim Caldwell, who has been a successful head coach in this league. Steve Wilks, who did not get a fair shake in Arizona.
No.
He got one and done. Yeah. Terrell Austin, who's in Pittsburgh and is ready to go as a potential head coach. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Marvin Lewis, who was a longtime, mm-hmm. fairly is up and down successful head coach, but deserves another
right.
shot.
Yes.
He was with Herman Edwards at Arizona
right.
State this year. And John Wooten concludes in his text to me, only one GM is heartbreaking, because that's the bottom line to this.
yeah.
It's just one GM.
Right.
So now the flip side of this, the only silver lining is the annual report from the Institute of Diversity and Ethics in Sport, in which they grade the NFL on its head coaches and its assistant coach hiring.
Mm-hmm.
They give this year's head coach hiring a D+. This is for this past year.
Right.
And assistant coach hiring, they give the NFL an A+. Ooh, D+ for head coaches, A+ for assistants. So they're in the pipeline,
right.
as they say, right?
Right? Mm-hmm.
They're coming up. But these owners, they have sheep think to them, and they want the next it thing. And so they're looking at who's successful as a black head coach right now. Well, Brian Flores was coming alive,
yeah.
man. They were coming on.
Yeah, he's building something in Miami.
They went 5-4 to finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did beat those Eagles, and they went up to Belichick and beat Belichick, right?
But, Skip, what do they want? They want hotshot young offensive minds.
Okay.
They want the Lincoln Rileys.
Sure.
They want the Josh okay. McDaniels, the Sean.
Okay.
Okay, who's the next? But most of the head coaches, Skip, they come from what side of the ball?
Yeah, Mike Tomlin, but Mike Tomlin went 8-8 this year. Anthony Lynn, who you played with, he went 5-11 this year. So they're not saying, I need another Tomlin. But, not now, not at
right.
this point. That happened
right.
before,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is the one that baffles me. How is Matt Rhule, the head coach
yeah.
at Baylor University, the hottest thing going in head coach camp? I don't get it. Matt Rhule, what are you talking about?
Like crazy. It's like when somebody puts your name out there,
I know.
It'll catch fire.
It just goes crazy.
He was
the assistant offensive line coach for the Giants for 1 year in 2012. He turned around Temple, and people are giving him credit for turning around Baylor from its scandal days.
Right.
Sure, but...
But still... They're up 31-10 on my Oklahoma Sooners at halftime at home, and they lost. And then they lost to him in the championship game.
Yeah.
And they lost to Georgia last. I don't know.
Right.
I don't get it. It's not like he's setting the college football
right.
world
just
on fire.
No.
Okay, but he's the hot candidate.
Yeah.
And of color, no.
Nobody.
We're not hearing. I don't hear
and,
any
and,
of these.
And the thing is, it's like you can be a hot candidate if you're like Chris Richard. But if you have an off year, you're off the radar. Ain't nobody talking about you. You see what he did?
He now, did get an interview with the Giants.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was it a Rooney Rule kind of interview? I don't know.
Look, man, look. Mm. I don't know, Skip. It's just until you get people in position that can do hiring. I mean, look, there are only a handful. Skip, let's get right down to it. There are a handful of the coaches. How many coaches are rep by Bob Lamont and how many by Jimmy Sexton? So they're in that pool. That's the pool. And so my guy, and guess what? I get a job, I'm going to hire him, I'm going to hire him, I'm going to hire him. So we just, Keep it revolving. Mm-hmm. Keep it revolving.
Yep. Well, you got to be the hot guy at the right time.
Yes.
Chris Richard was a hot guy coming out of Seattle, Legion of Boom. Yes. He was the coach of that defensive backfield.
Yeah.
And last year, he was kind of a hot guy in Dallas.
But he kind of cool because, like, look at his defense this year.
Yep. I agree.
I mean, that impacts him, though.
Yes.
Yeah. When you're not in the playoffs and you don't have anything to score.
And what you call him, Josh McDaniels, get run up out of Denver. He was terrible as the offensive coordinator with the Rams. He quit a job, Skip.
He did.
He quit a job. They're getting ready to introduce him at a press conference, the man no-shows.
Well, Indy. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he a hot commodity again. Mm. It's going to be interesting. I want to see what he can do without. Hey, I ain't questioning his mindset. But I want to see what he can do with that Tom Brady. Because I saw what he did with Sam Bradford. And I saw what he did in Denver with, I forget the guy. He was at Chicago first. Mm-hmm. I forget what he did with him. What did he do, Skip? Nothing. But Tom, Skip, who the hell couldn't call? I might probably win 3 Super Bowls with Tom. I might not get to 6, but I get 3.
You would. You could get 3.
And like, Brett, it's like when you, Brett Favre. Look how many guys Brett Favre got head coaching jobs, Skip. They came up on the Mike Holmgren tree from Mariucci.
John Gruden
to Red, Andy Reid.
Yep. Mm.
A lot of guys.
It is interesting. Ooh. No mercy. Well, Saturday is not only the first time since 2009 that the Patriots will play on Wild Card Weekend, but it could also be Tom Brady's last game as a Patriot. I can't believe I'm saying that. Brady is set to be an unrestricted free agent after this season and cannot be franchise tagged by New England. When asked about his future this week, Brady said that it has felt like a normal week as he remains focused on the Titans. I'm not surprised he had that to say, but Shannon, if the Patriots do in fact lose, where will Tom Brady be playing next season?
Well, Skip, I don't believe he'll be playing in New England. And I've been on the record at the beginning of the season said I believe 20 years is all is going to be Tom's limit in New England. I just believe that Coach Belichick is normally a year early. And he was going to be 2 years early. But I believe in his mind, Skip, he felt that winning 1 Super Bowl with Jimmy G was worth more than 2 with Tom Brady.
That's true.
Because it would have given him the cash. It would have given him what he valued the most, that I get most credit for this dynasty.
That is true.
Tom Brady realized they were been trying to wait each other out for the longest time, Skip, because it's kind of like Coach Walsh and Joe Montana. Coach Walsh retires, and then Joe goes and wins another with George Seifert. Well, now Joe gets credit. That's the way. And so it's funny how it works because they're like, why you just can't just ride this thing out? Skip, we want credit. We want credit. I need credit. I need my. Give me 51. Let him have 49. As long as I get the most, we good.
Yeah.
But and the thing is, and this is why Coach Belichick wanted to move on with Jimmy G, because he's seeing what Jimmy G is doing. He understands, Skip, like when you have a franchise quarterback, all-time great, and you don't have a bridge to succession, you're going to spend as many years down as you spent up. Because Miami still hadn't found a replacement for Dan Marino yet. Dan retired in 2000. And they still haven't found that yet. And that's what happened. Maybe Buffalo is just now finding it after Jim Kelly retired in, I think, 97. This is what he saw. He says, you know what? I can be ahead of the curve. I can have 10, 12 years of Jimmy Garoppolo, win another 2-3 Super Bowls, and we can keep this thing rolling. I don't believe Mr. Kraft will intervene this time around, Skip. Now, this is going to be very interesting. Ryan Tannehill is an unrestricted free agent. Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, all these guys will be unrestricted free agents. For me, I think Tannehill would be a better choice in New England if you don't want to go with Stidham.
Huh.
But I don't see a scenario, Skip, that Tom Brady is back with New England in the 2020 season.
Yet, your point all season long to me is that Belichick would say no to Brady.
Yes.
I think there's another scenario developing in which Brady would say no to the Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's to Belichick or Kraft or both.
Right.
General.
He would just say no, I'm out.
I'm out, okay.
I'm an unrestricted free agent for the first time in my career. I'm going to go there.
Okay.
So, look, I'll disqualify myself. I'm not objective about Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is coming from a deep emotional place that is not remotely objective. But I'm still angry about Belichick's performance in the Super Bowl that the Patriots lost to the Eagles, because it's just unconscionable to me that they gave up 41 points to Nick Foles while your your best defensive back is on the sidelines, Malcolm Butler, sure, for reasons we still can't quite wrap our heads around, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
And Tom Brady throws for an all-time playoff record, 505 yards, and puts up 33 and loses 41-33. And I'm still, that just sticks in my craw. And I'm still angry about this year, in which I believe Bill Belichick gave Tom Brady a sorry supporting cast. And it feels a little like sabotage to me, but I'm over-emotional about it. But that's how it feels like. But he tried to get him AB, and mm-hmm, it lasted
a week.
One game. Yeah, and we know what happened.
Right.
And he had him, Josh Gordon, and then I don't know why they just cut bait, but maybe they knew something was on the rise, you know, on the horizon, and,
yep,
and here we went. And now he's out of the league. God bless him, maybe for good. And yet, this team is so bad, the supporting cast is so bad around Tom, that I'm getting close to done with this whole scenario in New England. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the dynasty is teetering and about to just splinter apart. And we both just picked Tennessee to win this game, mm-hmm, at Foxborough tomorrow night. It feels to me like both men need and deserve a fresh start. So, like, at this point in their careers, and they're both deep into their careers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tom's way deep into his, mm-hmm, and Bill's going on 70 years of age, but they just need a shot,
right,
to do what you said. Maybe it's for credit. Maybe it's just for self-satisfaction that I won without him.
Right.
I don't want to be attached to his hip all the way home.
Because you, Skip, you always, no matter what transpired, you join together. Coach Belichick is going to get – Coach Belichick, people will say your credit belongs to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, people will say your credit belongs to Coach Belichick. Mm-hmm. That's just the way the story is going to be, yep, written. There's no way around it. You've had too much success, and you guys go hand in hand. So whether you go to New England, he leaves and goes somewhere else, goes to the Raiders. I mean, it would be unbelievable if Tom could go somewhere else and win another Super Bowl.
That would pretty much cinch it, right?
Woo!
I mean, yeah.
Okay, and I want everybody to understand – Tom Brady is not like a son to Bill Belichick.
No.
They have nothing more than a working relationship, and I've heard that again and again from people very close to Tom Brady, that it amuses him to the point of frustrates him that he doesn't have any more relationship with Bill Belichick.
Well, Skip, you remember they came out with the NFL Network with airing the all-time, the 100, yep, NFL, yeah, players, and Tom came on set with Coach, mm-hmm, Belichick, and they was talking, and they were both talking about how great it was. Excuse me.
I think there's a lot of acting going on.
Skip, you know where I was going.
Yep.
Oh, it was so great that, yeah, you'd sit down and talk. Really? The man been in there 20 years. You could have sat down and talked with him anytime you want to. There's a cafeteria. You can go sit down and talk to him. There's plenty of times that you had opportunity to sit down and talk to Tom.
I know for a fact Tom wondered why some offseason Bill didn't say, let's play golf somewhere. They were paired together one time in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am,
yeah,
and not by choice.
Right.
Okay. So they
crazy
played
to
once.
Me.
Okay.
Because
crazy
you know
me.
Why, Skip?
You're right. It's
Coach
it's
Belichick
that
knows.
Yeah.
There's going to come a time,
yep,
no matter how great the player is, I'm going to have to make a tough decision.
Plus, it's like you always say about the general. The
yes.
commanding officer has to keep arm's length.
Got
to
keep it.
Yeah, so you don't let your personal feelings get involved, because Jerry obviously just let his personal feelings let Jason Garrett linger for years.
Yeah.
Because he loved him.
Yeah, but and Jerry's personal feeling towards Tony Romo. Jerry was itching. Steven had to talk Jerry into not. Tony can't go back in there, Jerry.
Yep. So speaking of sons, Bill does have a real son named Steve, who is the new, I think, defensive coordinator. At least he's the one mouthing the signals,
right?
Well,
he ain't been doing good lately.
He hadn't been doing good lately, and I don't know how Bill's getting a pass for that, but God bless him.
Yes.
Let them go and be together, and then he can have a real son,
right,
and they can go see if they can win a Super Bowl together.
Right.
Is it going to be in New England? Could it be long shot in Dallas? I just believe, and I have from the start, that Tom Brady would be the perfect fit for the Los Angeles Chargers as they go to that new stadium out here in Los Angeles next year. You need a marquee selling
Broncos.
Point.
Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Peyton. Look what
yep.
Peyton did. Peyton, they yep. thought Peyton was done. He came to the old Broncos.
Yeah.
Hey. Tom.
You wouldn't mind
you want
that?
Tom in Denver after all the negative, nasty things you've said about him?
Huh.
Do you really?
Well,
you
do. That is unique. Well, that's then, a good, that's interesting,
I pick him up from the airport.
Now, you'll
you
get him.
Yeah,
huh?
Pick him
you'll
up.
Go get
would you pick up him and Father Time at baggage claim?
I'm
you
leave
said they travel together.
I'm going to leave yeah. Father Time. He needs to leave Father Time in New England.
You
okay.
Just need a
yeah,
year,
yeah.
So.
We got a year. I think he got a year. Maybe a year.
Maybe a year. Chargers, if he could have a Peyton-esque year, that would be a year.
With, hold on. Not Peyton-esque. Not last, the last year Peyton.
No.
You're talking about one of those first three. You're talking about one of those first 3 years.
That was something. But Peyton wasn't 43 years of age at that point.
And, and Tom doesn't have a significant injury that we know of.
We don't. I agree. I think they both need to start fresh.
Yeah.
They've earned it, and let's see it next year.
Sometimes, Skip, when you're in a relationship, you don't realize how valuable the other party is until you separate. And then you're like, you know
what? Valid.
Yep.
And we could be seeing that if that were the case.
Could be. All I know is that Joe Montana wound up in Kansas City. And it was pretty good the last year in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it happens.
Let's see. Let's see this game Saturday, and then we'll have plenty to talk about after. No mercy. So Dak Prescott still doesn't have a new contract, despite having the best statistical season of his career. The Dallas quarterback had a career-high 30 touchdowns and ended up just 1 yard shy of the Cowboys' single-season record for passing yards. However, it was the worst season for Dak when it comes to wins and losses. It was the first time he didn't have a record above 500. Former Cowboys DB Orlando Scandrick is still with us. So, Orlando, when you think about this one, how will Dak's season impact his contract negotiations?
In a positive way, really? If anything. Mm. Pay the man. If you don't want to pay him and you haven't seen enough, let him go somewhere else. At this point, what are we doing? You want to turn this into a Kirk Cousins situation? You want to make the
potential
the blood worse? Or do you want to say, this is the direction my franchise is going in? Mm. Is my new head, I want my new head coach sold on him. I want them to be bonded. I want them to be together. I want them to have the type of relationship that we all imagine. And when I say imagine, when I say the name, you're going to know why I say imagine. We want them to have the type of relationship that Tom and Belichick have in our minds and have had for so many years. The kid is great, man. He's come in and he's exceeded all expectations. Even if you don't think he's worth the $35 or $40 million, then you go back and say, well, we're repaying him for what he's done the last 4 years.
Fair.
For me, it's hard for me to envision the situation, is that he didn't give them a pay cut at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. He navigates the minefield. He gets off the field. He's healthy. So basically, the only thing that could have derailed him, he has a catastrophic, he has an ACL, or Achilles, or major shoulder surgery. Okay, now Jerry's like, look, we don't kind of know what you're going to do. But he's like, hold on, wait a minute. Carson Wentz has won the division twice. He got paid. Jared Goff has won the division, I think, twice. He got paid. Now, I just want to know what the holdup is. You see, the difference is that those two guys identified their guy. We believe in you. You were going to pay you. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones seems to be somewhat
I'll tell you what the holdup is. They're probably telling him, playing in Dallas, quarterback, your marketability is more. Sure. No state taxes. But I don't want to hear none of that. Carson Wentz, number two pick in the draft. Jared Goff,
number one
pick in the draft. So I'm already 25 million behind the eight ball.
30.
Okay, so sum up this year. How much blame does Dak deserve for 8-8?
He's a quarterback. I mean, he's going to shoulder all of the blame for, you know, missing some throws, because he missed some throws, he'll be the first one to tell you. He's not going to use injury as an excuse. But at the same time, he has deficiencies, he has flaws, as all of us humans do. And I can assure you, knowing him like I know him, he's going to work towards it. And I genuinely believe that he's the guy. And if you don't think he's the guy, this franchise, so we talk about it a little bit, that's not good for anybody. I don't know a situation that's worked out.
Nope.
So, I believe in the big picture, Jerry Jones blew this, because I believe this deal should have gotten done, not even during camp, before camp, last offseason. If you had beaten the curve before the curve started going higher.
Before Goff and Wentz started getting their money.
If you had headed this all off at the pass, mm-hmm. if you'd given this kid his due and his money, mm-hmm. because he had done it already. I was completely sold, and I believe Jerry was sold in the offseason, last offseason. But no, he's a hard-bitten, tough negotiator, a tough you-know-what, mm-hmm. and so are Dak and his representative.
Right.
So it became an impasse, and I believe it hurt Dak's performance a little bit this year, because he made lots of throws, mm-hmm. but he didn't make enough throw at the moment. And you can't tell me he wasn't pressing late in games.
Absolutely. Anything in life. Yeah. It's just you coming in here. Jenny, you coming in here. If I'm coming in here and I'm thinking, you know, I got security and I'm just going to come and do my job and do what I'm paid to do, opposed to I got to be perfect every day so I can prove to them that I deserve.
He wasn't free mentally when push came to shove on the football field?
I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, you know, going into my fourth year and going through the camp and things like that, before I did sign my first big contract, it was like, I got to be perfect. I got to show them. I got this. I got to prove it every day. And then when you get it, it's just like, now I can be myself.
What they should have done is that you believed, and a lot of people believe, that Dak was better than Cousins. They should have gave him a deal comparable to Cousins.
No.
Even if you don't fully guarantee it, you give him a deal comparable. Look, you making $500,000 a year. Somebody come to you with $70 million, you're taking that.
You said Cousins. Cousins make 28.5.
Yes.
I'm not taking 28.5 when at the time I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Carson coming off of an ACL.
But here's the thing. But Carson didn't get his money. Carson didn't get the money till this year.
Right.
I'm saying once Goff got his, I mean, Wentz got his and Goff got his, the market is going here.
Sure.
So Dak wasn't going to give you no discount. If you're making $500,000, somebody comes to you with $75 million.
I agree.
It's hard for you to walk away from that.
It absolutely is, but you got to look at the bigger picture. And Kirk Cousins was a prime example of looking at the bigger picture. And he was able – wait. It's my turn. He was able to take that $28.5 million a year because 2 years of franchise tag.
Yeah.
So make that into a 5-year fully guaranteed deal.
Here's the thing, though. What was Kirk Cousins that Dak isn't? Free! Getting paid.
But he went through 2 years of franchise. I don't think Dak is opposed to going through 2 years of $30 million a year. Why so?
Because
that's 2 for 60?
Because they're betting against you. Your team is betting against you that you're not what they think you are. Because if they believe in you, they give you the money. Who else has played under those franchise tags?
I can't even think of quarterbacks
that
played on them. It never works, in my opinion.
Because here's the thing, Skip. Even if you give the guy a little money early, you can get out from under it. Ryan Tannehill got paid, but it was structured so they could get out from under.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay these guys early, because if you wait late, Skip, and he bet on himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's way better than Ryan Tannehill.
But I'm talking
apples and oranges.
No,
now.
But I'm saying they gave them a little, they didn't give them all the way market value, but they got to him early.
Yep.
Dak is not gonna take less than market value. He
not at all, but
deal.
I mean, if you're saying that he should have took Tannehill, then you talking about they should have paid him before year three.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you go to him early. Skip, he's won the division for you 3 times. Damn, what else you need to say?
But this is the problem. This is a problem. It's this big roller coaster with Dallas, and Super Bowl or bust every year. So his first year, 13-3.
Yes.
Second year, 8-8. Third year, okay, now we get. He looked.
97.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. He looked bad before they got Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
So now they get Amari Cooper, he looks good again. And now at this point, he's sitting there, and now he's looking at Carson Wentz's $30 million or $32 million a year, and now that's the number. And I think, both of you said, I think they should have sucked it up. And if he was the guy, mm-hmm. just pay him.
You got sometimes, Skip, you just got to bite the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the market is not coming down. It's not like because you see Aaron Rodgers. They get Aaron Rodgers had 2 years left on his deal. Mm-hmm. You see Seattle. He had a year left on his deal. And they're going to him and signing him early.
But,
and you let this guy get to the end of the contract, and you want me to give
you
a home?
They keep making the excuse of, we want to have a contract that's able to put people
they
around
him. Doing
like, that, it's that, as him, it's no, not my job to structure a contract to put people around.
So his numbers this year are off the charts everywhere except 8-8.
Right.
And Jerry's going to use 8-8 against him because Jerry will negotiate.
Go ahead and tag me.
Hey. Okay, well,
tag
that's
me.
What it's coming to.
You know it's going
to
be bad. You know
so
how
you, if, tags. You, if you tag me, then you lose Amari.
Remember, the defense did not live up to what we thought
at
it was
all.
Going to be. And Zeke, to me, did not live up to what I expected him to be to lead the league in rushing.
Don't
so
worry.
So it still comes back.
It's going to be some Ubers out front.
Some what?
Some Ubers.
Some Ubers.
You know what those
really?
Ubers is for?
It's not good.
Go ahead, one-way ride. One-way
really?
Ride to get them.
Oh, that's got to be not a
There's
good
gonna
feeling.
There's going to be some Ubers out front today.
But not that, a good.
But that's the thing. You got to bite the bullet. They let the contract. He let Wentz and Goff get. And Dak saw that.
Yeah.
Dak's like, in Dak's mind, Dak believes he's as good, if not better, than those two guys.
Absolutely.
That got $115 million.
And you wanted it to be done before the year. And now I'm thinking about what if.
Uber's on
what
the
if
way.
It had been taken care of and how it would have impacted this team.
I think you would have seen him play at a more comfortable level and make some plays that won games.
No mercy.
Reports are saying that Jason Garrett will not be part of the Cowboys organization moving forward after Garrett had his fourth 8-8 season. Rumors have swirled around who Jerry could target as the next head coach. Urban Meyer, Sean Payton, and Lincoln Riley are a few prominent names that have been thrown out as possibilities. So, Eric, who would you hire if you had the decision for the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, let's start off with what Skip, I think Skip would love. What you think? What you think about Lincoln Riley? What do you think about him?
How about not Lincoln Riley? Thank you.
I'll
get to him in just a minute.
Matt Rhule at Baylor. I wouldn't hire him.
Thank you.
Josh McDaniels. He went to Denver. He was an OC at the Rams for a while.
Terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire him. My guy, and I said this months ago, Urban Meyer. I think Urban Meyer fits the Cowboy mode. You know, I think that when you look at Urban Meyer, he coached at Utah, won at Utah. He coached at Florida. Now, you know why he took the job in Florida? Because he looked at the roster over Notre Dame. Now, think about it. Notre Dame, Florida. He took Florida because of that roster. And he looks at that Dallas Cowboy roster. I think he likes this roster.
When you think about the
Cleveland Browns, would you go Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys? Cleveland, I think I'll take the Cowboys, Bob. So I just feel like he's the best fit for the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like that him and Jerry Jones can work something out. I know that Jerry wants all the power, but I think at 70-something years old, Jerry, like, Super Bowl power. I think I'll take Super Bowl, Bob. So I just feel like that Urban Meyer is the guy for that job. He has the mold. He fits that mold. I mean, I think when you want a coach for the Dallas Cowboys, you need someone right now with, like, flash. Mm-hmm. A guy that everybody knows his name. Mm-hmm. Not a guy you're like, where'd he come from? Let me look it up
Matt
on the internet.
Rhule?
He commands your attention.
He does.
Yes, right. He commands your attention. So I think for me, and I said this months ago, I hope I'm right. I hope Miss Cleo got me right with my crystal ball. I just feel like Urban Meyer's the guy to coach that team.
Like it.
You know who I'll give up 3 first rounders and $15 million. I'm trying to get Sean Payton out of New Orleans. I'm trying to get Sean Payton out of New Orleans.
You're going to do anything.
Because Jerry said the obscene size of the check that he'd be willing to write for a Super Bowl, Skip,
Well,
it's going to take an obscene amount of check. Because not only are you going to have to give a draft pick and compensation, monetary compensation, if you were to do this, you're going to probably have to pay Sean Payton somewhere between $125 and $150 million. That's the obscene size of the check that he's going to have to write. And I believe Sean Payton could deliver what Jerry ultimately wants. See, the problem that Jerry had, Skip, is that Jerry bought the team in 1989, right? Mm-hmm. Brought the team in 1989, and within 5 years, he had 3 Super Bowls. So now he's like, man, that's easy. Super Bowl, my thing.
That is true. I agree. Why can't anybody?
And so he started to believe that anybody could coach the Cowboys and win Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy.
He said at one point there are 100 coaches who could coach this team to a Super Bowl.
Right. And he started to believe that, or anybody could do it. You just get a talented roster, and no. There's so much more that goes into coaching than just a talented roster, and he's finding that out now because he believes he's assembled a talented roster, even talented last 2 to 3 years. And what did he have to show for it? 1 playoff win and 2 division titles. That's not enough for him when you've had the ultimate success that he's had, especially early. When you win Super Bowl, Skip, it's kind of like the Patriots. They don't really, the AFC East, that's nice. Yeah, the AFC titles, but if you don't win Super Bowls when you've had the success that they've had, anything less doesn't even matter to them. It's Super Bowl or bust. Mm. Well, Jerry got that taste early. And so now that's what he thinks, that he should win every single year.
Yep.
But for me, I'm doing everything I can to get Sean Payton because he needs a CEO. He needs a guy that commands. Sean Payton will command that locker room respect.
He will.
They will know he's in charge. And that bull jive that he used to get away with Jason Garrett ain't happening on his watch.
So, to your point, if Jerry Jones managed to go to New Orleans and extract Sean Payton away from the Saints to the Cowboys, I would give you such a big, how about them Cowboys? I would hit this table so hard, I would crack it in two. That's how big
that to happen.
I would crack it in two, and we'd have to go get another one to continue this show. I might break my hand on that one because I've come close enough already, and it's already a little black and blue from this morning.
Sometimes I wonder.
The point is, it just seems pie in the sky to me because I don't think New Orleans for any price would let him go right now.
Right.
I don't know Drew Brees' future. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they go win the Super Bowl and I give them a shot.
But absolutely.
I give them a shot. If they go win the Super Bowl, would Drew say, I'm going to walk into the sunset because I got kids to coach and Little League football? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So would Sean say, I'm going to give up total control with a as you call her, Miss Benson, who, yeah. she's
hands off,
right? She stays out of the way.
Sean and Mickey Loomis run that team.
Right? Okay. So why would he give that up with, if Drew Brees is going to commit to playing a couple, three more years? Why would he give that up to go to Dallas? I just don't see it.
Well, Jay will have to, like you said, write that on the dotted line that he going to stay out the kitchen.
Okay. Would he? I don't know. He's 77 years of age. At some point, you got to give it up.
Right.
If you really and truly want a Super Bowl at any cost,
right.
Well, the cost may be your pride and ego because you might have to just pull
correct.
Back
correct.
Stay out of the
correct.
Way.
Yep, that's that.
And I don't fault Jerry for the roster he has helped assemble because it's pretty great.
It is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had something to do with it, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Will McClay
yeah.
has become their draft
right.
master.
Yes.
I don't like what he did with his, by the way, real quick point, his second round pick last year. Does anybody remember what happened
Connor
to Tristan?
Reed?
No, Tristan Hill.
Oh, yeah, this year.
Out of
yeah.
Central Florida.
But Skip, that was a problem with that Central Florida.
I know, they had problems with him, and now he's become an even bigger problem for Dallas.
Yeah.
It seems like a swing and a miss. And remember, that was the top pick they had last year because they gave up the one for Amara.
Right. Huh.
So my point is, if you give up four firsts for Sean Payton, would you sort of cut off your nose to spite your face? Would you handicap yourself then to go forward?
Well, you just know that you're going to probably – Skip, if they win two Super Bowls, let's just say they don't have a first-round pick until the year 2022, but you win two of the next four Super Bowls.
Okay, can you guarantee me that? I'll take it if you can guarantee it.
I believe Sean Payton can deliver that.
Okay, so my gut feeling right now is your gut feeling. I do like the Urban Meyer possibility. I like the prospect of it because he's a big guy. He's one of those guys, Jenny knows him, been around him.
Yeah.
When he walks in the room, he commands the room. He would command that locker room because he was wildly successful at all three college stops. Now, again, he's not coached a lick of pro football, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Neither did Barry Switzer.
Okay. I love Barry Switzer. Know him very well. Yeah. But he walked in, and he commanded the locker room, I promise you. The point is that I believe Urban's such a big guy that he would walk in and be a success because he's always been successful.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have charisma about him, but he wants to control every last nuance of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry would have to get out of his way. I don't think his personality would clash with Jerry's because when I'm around Urban, I don't know how you feel, but I think he can sort of figure out how to get along.
Mm-hmm.
He's great to be around.
Yeah.
And that is fun about this year, being around him a little bit more and knowing him on a personal level other than coach. But the thing that I can say that we talked a lot about this year is how much he missed the competitiveness.
Okay.
And there's no better place to go and be competitive and handle the pressure
I agree.
Of the Dallas
he
Cowboys.
He does tend to burn. He drives so hard he burns out, right?
But he's not burned out now.
Think about the pressure that he felt at Florida to win and Ohio State to win times 10. Because that's the Dallas Cowboys. Ohio State and Florida can't compare the Cowboys on the national stage.
No.
And the expectation now is that look at the roster I've given you. You got to go deliver because he's going to be making $10-plus million a year.
But I think he would deliver. I think when you look at Urban Meyer, I think one thing he'd say, okay, Jerry, if I'm him, I'd say, give me one thing. Give me Bill Callahan back. Let's get Bill Callahan back in because I have Zeke. I know Zeke. We ran the ball better when we had Bill Callahan. Give me that. I know these young players I could draft some of them. I know these guys. I know the guys that other people don't know.
Right.
Because you're a head coach.
Yep.
You know, you're coaching. You know the guys out there. Man, why are you not in the league? Boy, I wish I had him on my football team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're even playing. They don't play him in the right position. So I feel like with him, I just feel like that, like you said, I met Urban for the first time here a couple of months ago, and I never met him before.
Right.
And I wanted to meet him. He wanted to meet me. I mean, I'm like, I'm a big Urban Meyer fan. I mean, because
Nick Saban, my number two choice.
Okay.
Number three choice might be Dabo.
Mm.
What about old Dabo? Now, Dabo, hey,
Dabo.
He got to play. He built a power down in Clemson.
Yeah, but does he want to walk away from that power? Whew.
But you look at Dabo and look at Urban Meyer. Think about the two. The personalities are so different.
Oh, they're so different.
You know, and to me, I see Urban as that, almost like Jerry, like that. Hey guys, how's it going? You know, just that.
Dabo is a heck of a motivator.
You know him.
Yeah,
you know him.
Hey, he can.
Okay, last two quick thoughts. Lincoln Riley, I'm a big University of Oklahoma fan. He has overseen three of the worst college defenses I've ever seen in the last 3 years. They just gave up 7 first half touchdown passes to Joe Burrow.
Joe could have put 80 on them, Skip. They could have really scored 80 points on
them. Put 63 on them like that, right? And finally, one last name that could become a possibility. maybe a long shot possibility, is if the Patriots lose tomorrow night, which we both think they will,
right,
the dynasty could just splinter apart. And Robert Kraft might have to make a choice between the quarterback and the head coach mm-hmm. going forward. And if he somehow talks Brady into staying and Belichick says, I'm out, I would think Belichick might be intrigued with Dallas. He might be.
You ain't going to have to write a check about
that. I don't know about that. That would be like,
He literally going to have to get out of the kitchen.
Yeah, okay, but that's where you'd say, I'm 77 and I got a chance to get the greatest coach ever. So everybody says, let's do it. And you already are on the record. That would mean Super Bowl.
Bill Belichick. Yeah.
He said three of the next five.
Yes. Guaranteed. Okay. But I don't want that.
Potential of what could happen. Eric, appreciate you being here.
Go, Eric. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one. Of one.